Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, if you've been paying attention the last few weeks, you may have noticed something about my sermons. During this entire season of Lent, I've been preaching from the Old Testament readings. Not that the Gospel readings haven't been important, because they have been, but these Old Testament readings have been dealing with the theme of covenant. On the first Sunday in Lent, we heard about God's covenant with Noah to never destroy the world again. On the second Sunday in Lent, we heard about God's covenant with Abraham and the promise of descendants and land. On the third Sunday in Lent, we heard about the covenant with Moses and the Israelites and how God gave them the Ten Commandments. Last week, on the fourth Sunday in Lent, we heard the story about the serpent on the pole in the wilderness, which had more to do with that week's gospel reading from John 3 than covenant, but whatever. And then today, on this fifth and last Sunday in Lent, we hear about one more covenant, the covenant proclaimed by the prophet Jeremiah, the, quote, new covenant. Now, before we see what's new about this particular covenant, we need to think about what a covenant really is. All right, a covenant is not a contract. A contract is a deal between two equal parties. Right? It's an agreement where they say that one party will do something for the other party and vice versa. Think about signing a contract to buy a house. Right? The seller agrees to sell and the buyer agrees to buy. A covenant, on the other hand, happens between two unequal parties. One party clearly has more power than the other. However, both parties still have certain expectations of them, and they're still in this relationship together. The one with the power, though, is the one in charge. And that's the party that makes the covenant to begin with. When God makes covenants or promises with God's people, God is clearly the one in charge, and the people are the ones who receive the benefits. All right, for example, God promised never to destroy the world again, and we receive the benefit of a world that won't get destroyed. God promised descendants to Abraham and Sarah, and we receive the benefit of being part of that family. God promised to be with the people in the wilderness and showed them how to live. And we receive the benefit of the commandments. However, in the history of biblical covenants, God's people haven't always done their part. In fact, it happened quite often that God's people were unfaithful to God. Whether it be complaining that God didn't provide, or worshiping idols, or mixing with other cultures, God's people were frequently unfaithful to God. And this leads us to the time of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah is set around the year 627 BC, to shortly after the fall of Jerusalem in 587 BC. Well, in the year 597 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon captured the southern kingdom of Judah and took some of Jerusalem's leading citizens into exile. He then appointed a new king. 10 years later, that king rebelled, and Nebuchadnezzar responded by destroying Jerusalem and exiling even more people. In today's Old Testament reading, Jeremiah is speaking to these people in exile. They've been taken from their homeland and they're living under foreign rule. Now they're just trying to make sense of what has happened to them. I mean, God had promised them that someone from David's line would always be on the throne. So why then had a foreign king taken them over? And why had the Davidic monarchy been destroyed? In other words, the people thought that God had abandoned them and broken God's promise. They thought God had been unfaithful to the covenant. However, Jeremiah tells them that they are in exile not because God abandoned them, but because they abandoned God. They broke the covenant, the one given to Moses, the Ten Commandments. God, speaking through Jeremiah, compares it to a marriage relationship, basically saying that the people have cheated on God by worshiping idols. Right, even today, when one spouse cheats on another, we still call it being unfaithful. So clearly, in Jeremiah's day, the people of God were not so faithful to God. And today, we're not always so good at it either. Right, last week, we thought about what some of our idols are. But today, though, we don't normally think of God punishing us or exiling us for being unfaithful. Right, for example, we don't consider this pandemic to be punishment from God. Even so, this pandemic does still feel like an exile to us. Right? Like the Israelites who were removed from their homeland and taken into exile, we know what it's like to be removed from our sacred space. We haven't been in the St. Paul sanctuary together for worship in over a year. We will soon be celebrating our second Holy Week online. And even though we're still in our homes, in a way it feels like we are in a foreign land. Our lives have changed. We've had to adapt to a new way of life. And we keep wondering when we'll be able to go back home, so to speak. We want out of this exile. Now, although Jeremiah's words were a warning to the people in exile about their sin, he did have some good news for them. And that's where we hear about the new covenant. And there are two things that make this covenant new compared to the previous ones. First, this covenant will not be based on following a set of rules or conditions. It will not be obeyed out of a sense of obligation. Instead, it will be done out of a sense of joy. And secondly, it will not be written on tablets of stone, like the Ten Commandments. Instead, it will be written on people's hearts. But what does that mean? Well, think back to a few weeks ago when I talked about the Ten Commandments. I mentioned that roommate agreement from the Big Bang Theory. Leonard and Sheldon are roommates, and as such, they have this written agreement about how they're going to live together. But being roommates, though, is different than being married. Right? Think about marriage relationships. Even though there are certain expectations about what each person does, the dynamic of marriage is much different than the dynamic of being roommates. In good marriages, you don't need to be told to be kind and loving to your spouse. You just are. It's not written on some tablet or on some piece of paper somewhere. Instead, it's written in your heart. You made this promise to the other person that you would love them, quote, from this day forward, in joy and in sorrow, in plenty and in want, in sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live. This is my solemn vow. You love them, and you promise to keep on loving them. Now, that doesn't mean things will be easy or that you'll always see eye to eye, but it does mean that you'll stick with them, and you will always be there for them. This new covenant is much more like marriage vows than a roommate agreement. It's a relationship where you don't have to be told how to behave. Instead, it is just a part of who you are. It's deep in your bones. It's your very identity. In other words, you don't have to be taught how to be loving. Or as our text says, no longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. Okay, that sounds great and all, but how does that connect to life now for us during this pandemic? How does this new covenant connect to our situation now? Well, think about the people in the Babylonian exile again. They thought God had abandoned them. Then they hear this promise, this covenant, this word from God through Jeremiah that says that God is going to strengthen their relationship together. God has not abandoned them. In fact, even when they were unfaithful to God, God still promised to bring them closer together. No matter how they sin, no matter how they feel far away, no matter how they doubt, God has promised to be faithful to them. And this pandemic is a time of struggle for all of us. But I hope that over this past year, we've learned how faithful God is to us. We've also learned how faithful, or maybe not, how we are to God. All right, for example, there are some people in this country who, before pandemic life, saw their role in the church as an obligation or a duty. It was something they did just because they were expected to do it. With pandemic life, though, they feel like they don't have to do as much as they did before. They've relaxed. And maybe when the pandemic ends, they'll just stay that way. They've gotten into the habit of not being as involved as they were before, and they see no reason to get back into it. These people are in the stage where they need to follow the covenant out of a sense of duty. During pandemic life or not, they still have a relationship with God and neighbor, and they still need to take care of that relationship. However, there are some people who have the love of God written in their hearts. During this pandemic, they've not become lax in their relationship with God. In fact, they've become stronger. They know that God has not abandoned them. They know that God is still here. They know that they can still love God and serve neighbor even during pandemic life. And so that's what they do. Right? They know that even when activities aren't happening in a church building, that the church is not closed. The church is still alive and well in the world. That's just a part of who they are. Their relationship with God is deep in their bones. It's written in their heart. So this is God's promise to us, that no matter what life is like, God is faithful to us. God forgives us. And God wants a relationship with us that is better than the best marriage. Because we are loved so much by God, we can't help but love God back. And this amazing love changes us from a people who live out of obligation and duty to a people who live out of joy and delight. We move from a people who need to be taught how to love to a people who just love from the heart. And as we look ahead to Holy Week next week, we remember Jesus as the embodiment of God's love and faithfulness to us. And we remember how not even the grave can stop that amazing love. May we continue to live out of that love and share it with others, both during and after pandemic life, because that's just who we are. And more importantly, that's who God is. So in the name of the one who is God's love for us incarnate, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.